Shavuot, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Chof Tes 29. So remember, again, we're beginning on the bottom of Chof Ches Amud Beis. So just to reorient ourselves a little bit, we actually left off on okay. I think we left off 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines up from the bottom. So again, just reorient ourselves a little bit. So remember, we said that Rava holds that you could only be over on Baal Tosif when at a time where there's this Zman HaMitzvah. But if it's not this Zman HaMitzvah, so one would not be over on Baal Tosif. So the example the Gemara began with was in the event that you slept on the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, you would not be in violation of Baal Tosif, because at the end of the day, the Mitzvah of Sukkah does not apply at that particular time. So the Gemara said, V'ha-ha-ha-ha. So remember, then the Gemara brought up the case of where the two bloods got mixed up. The blood of the carbon, the blood of the carbon that requires one application, with the blood of the carbon that requires four applications, with a machlokes, as to how many applications you should do. But yet over here in this case, once you go ahead and you do one application, which you get from the mixed blood, which would be the application, remember, one of these carbonos is a bechor, which only requires one application. So this man is over. Vekatani do arim mishum baal tosif. And yet, again, we said that you violate baal tosif. Lav mishum da aminon kevan de ilam isram alei buchra achrina. Hadar maze mine kuliyom azmane. Well, it must be because, since technically speaking, were you to come across another bechor offering, that there would be an obligation to go ahead and sprinkle the blood. Therefore, the entire day is considered to be the Zman of the Bechar. So the Gemara says, Mimai, Dilma Kasav Rabbi Yoshua.
Why are you over the Zman? Because you didn't report.
No, if you were to go ahead and do an additional application, you would be over on Baal Tosif. But again, the Gemara says, how can you be over on Baal Tosif if it's not the Zman? I mean, once you do one application, it should be over. The Zman is over. So the Gemara says, no, the Zman is not over, since technically speaking, you could offer up a Bechar the entire day. To which the Gemara says, Dilma Kasav Rabbi Yoshua, mitzvos over aleina filu shalos in bizmanon. But perhaps Rabbi Yoshua holds that you could be over on Baal Tosif even when Rabbi Osai, even not at this man. To which the Gemara says, Anan hachi kamino. This is what we mean to say. Rav Shman bar Abba, my taima shavik masnisin umosiv mibraisis. Rabbi Osai, if you remember again, this whole discussion got off the ground. Rabbi made a statement that you can only be over on Baal Tosif at a time where the mitzvah is in effect. Then what happened? Then Rav Shman bar Abba quoted, asked the Kasha. Remember the Kasha? The Kasha was from the case of the Kohen. In the case of the Kohen, the Gemara says, the Braisa says, that he may not go ahead and offer up any of his own brachos. And the case over there was where what? Was where Lemaisa, there was still the opportunity that day to give Birkas Kohen. So you see from there that even, excuse me, and the Gemara said over there that Lemaisa, it was a case of where he had already given Birkas Kohen. So the Zman was over, yet you're still over on Baal Tosif. To which, and now the Gemara is pointing out that there's another case, in actuality, a Mishnah that contradicts Rava. So the Gemara says, Rav Shman bar Abba, why do you bring a Kasha on Rava from a Braisa by Birkas Kohanim when you could have brought a Kasha on Rava from where? From a Mishnah. To which, Lo Simi Mas Nisin. So we should ask Kasha from the Mishnah. The Mishnah is the case of the blood applications. Masnis in my time of the Mosif. So why did Rav Shmabra Abba not bring up from the case of the Mishnah? Kevan de ilu misraim elei buchra achrina bo'i mazet minei kul di omaz manehu. Because again, in the case of the Mishnah, of the blood applications of the Bechar, since technically speaking, were there to be another opportunity to bring the Bechar, the Kohen would be obligated to do that. Therefore, the entire day is considered its time. Braisa nami kevan de misraim tzibura achrina hadar mevarech kul yoma. You could say the same thing by the Kohen. If there were to be another situation where the Kohen were to come across another tzibur that did not yet hear Birkas Kohanim, what would be the Kohen's obligation? His obligation would be to deliver the bracha. Therefore, the entire day is considered to be Zmaneh. Rav Shman bar Abba, Rav Shman bar Abba says, no, here's the difference. Hasam lo sagi delo yohiv, hacha iba'i mevarech iba'i lo mevarech. This is very interesting. So Rav Shman bar Abba holds that there's a fundamental difference. In the case of the Karbanos Rabosai, if there's another Bechor offering that has to be done that day, the Kohen has no choice. He must do the blood application. Yet, interestingly enough, Once a Kohen does Birkas Kohanim once that day, he is not obligated to go ahead and deliver another Birkas Kohanim. In fact, interestingly enough, if you look at the last Tosas on the Daf, so Tosas says, Hacha Iboy Mevarich, Mashma Mikan, it seems to be clear from here, Dechevan Da'ala Leduchon Pam Achas Biyom, Shuv Eino Over Ba'aseh. See, I will say, technically speaking, a Kohen, every single time there is a congregation that is needed for him to bless, so technically speaking, he should deliver Birkas Kohanim. The difference, as Tosas is, once he's blessed a Tzibor once that day, if he fails to do it again, even if he's needed, he is not in violation of a positive commandment. Because the Pasuk says, De'emor lahem, excuse me, Eino over ba'aseh de'emor lahem, Kalayom daha ka'amar iba'i lo mevarek. So I'll say, interestingly enough, difference between Kohanim and the Karbanos is that whenever there is a Bechor, the blood application must occur. When it comes to the Kohanim, once a Kohen has given his Birkas Kohuna once that day, even though he should deliver it again if needed, however, if he did not do so, he's not in violation of an Asay. It's interesting. Rava Amar, last three lines, Rava Amar, Rava says, Lotzeis lo boi kavana. So Rava said, now remember going back full circle, remember how this conversation got started, that Rava said that mitzos lav tzrichos kavana, mitzos don't require kavana in order to go ahead and fulfill them. So therefore the Gemara says, Rava Amar, Lotzeis lo boi kavana, la'avor boi kavana. To which the Gemara says, in reality, to go ahead and discharge an obligation, you do not require explicit intent. Remember, all we said is you require situational intent. So I don't have to have kavana to, let's say, fulfillments of shofar, but I do have to have kavana to blow the shofar. On the other hand, la'avor, if you want to be over on baltosif, la'avor by kavana. You can only be over on baltosif if what? If you have kavana. I v'ha matan damin. I'm sorry, Sidimara says, Bahamatan Damil Rabbi Yoshua, the La'avar below by Kavana. I, but we saw that in the case of the blood application, you could be over on Baal Tosif even without Kavana. Ela Amar Rava, rather, Rava said, Lotse is low by Kavana. Well, say, Rava sticks to his gun. Guns, mitzvos, love, tzrichos, Kavana. You don't require Kavana in order to discharge your obligation. However, La'avar bismano low by Kavana, Shalob bismano by Kavana. And I will say, when you are over on Baal Tosif, depends on when you're talking about. If it's the time of the actual mitzvah, you can be over on Baal Tosif even what? Even without Kavana. But if it's not the Zman for the mitzvah, you can only be over on Baal Tosif with what? With Kavana. So just using the example that the Gemara used, if I go ahead and I decide that on Shmini Atzeres, I'm sleeping in the sukkah, so have I violated Baal Tosif? So the answer is, it depends. Because it's not the Zman for the sukkah, I'm not over on Baal Tosif without Kavana. But if I had Kavana to add on to the mitzvah of sukkah and Ein Hachinami, I would be in violation of Baal Tosif. Amarli Rabbi Zeira l'shamei. Rabbi Zeira said to his attendant, Tirte Shamis, top of Choftes, Ichavein v'tokali. I want you to have Kavana. I want you to have Kavana. And I want you to blow the shofar on my behalf. So look at Rashi. Ichavein v'tokali. Tiskavein l'tkoa b'shmi l'hotzi'eni yedei chavasi. I want you to have explicit intent for me when you go ahead and you blow the shofar on my behalf. I'm a kasavra. What do you see from here? I'm a kasavra. Mashmiya bai kavana. What do you see from here? You see from here that Rabosei, the Baal Tokea, does have to have kavana. So remember, again, we've been discussing on Amud Beis that the Baal Tokea doesn't require kavana. Now, based on the fact that you have Rabbi Zeira telling you, Shamas, you have to have explicit kavana for me, the Baal Tokea does require kavana. Meisve, yet the Gemara raises a kasha. What's the kasha? Hayo over achori beisak nases, o shahaya beiso samach le beisak nases. Remember again from the Mishnah, if I'm walking behind the shul, or for that matter, my house is next door to the shul, v'shama kol shofar o kol megillah, and I hear the sound of the shofar or the sound of the megillah, im kivin libo yotza. If I, the listener, have kavana to discharge my obligation, then I'm yotzei v'im lav, but if I don't have kavana to discharge my obligation, then what? Lo yotza, I'm not yotzei. So the Gemara says, v'chi kivin libo mai havi. So now the Gemara says, but 1 second. Even if I, the listener, have explicit kavana to discharge my obligation, heich lo kamachavim. Yet the Baal Tokea doesn't what? Doesn't have kavana for me. Why doesn't the Baal Tokea have kavana for me? Because he doesn't even know of my existence. I'm not even in the shul. Right? I might be on the outside. I might be next door in my house. But the point is, he doesn't know about me. So the Gemara says, "Hey, lo kamechavin adaita diday." Hacha b'shliach tzibur askinan. To which the Gemara says, "No. What are we talking about? We're talking about the shliach tzibur." Now, also, what does it mean the shliach tzibur? This is the person blowing the shofar on behalf of the entire congregation, or for that matter, the person blowing the reading the megillah on behalf of the entire congregation. Didaita akule alma. Because we're also again, a shliach tzibur is different. Because the way a shliach tzibur operates is that his intent is to cover who? Anyone who hears him. Meaning when a person operates in the capacity of a shliach tzibur, so they understand their obligation is to the greater collective. And they understand that often that greater collective might even span beyond those individuals contained within the walls of the shul. Therefore, the shliach tzibur always has in mind that what? That lemaisa, his call will be for everyone. Tashma. So also, you should understand also there's an incredible yisod in there in general about responsibility. You know, there are some people that kind of just operate for themselves. But a person has the status of a shliach tzibur. The definition of a shliach tzibur is his mind, he's by definition, he's worried about the collective. So an individual is the Baal Tov Keah, who does he have in mind to be motzi? Himself or the people, perhaps, again, who he knows for sure he's blowing for. But no intention spans beyond that immediate nuclear group. Kaz of a shliach tzibur is a person who's preoccupied with the needs of the tzibur. He has in mind to be motzi anyone and everyone who may hear. Tashma, niskavin shomea v'lo niskavin mashmia. I think Mark calls a braisa. If the shomea, the listener, had intention to be yotze, but what the mashmia, that's the mashmia is the Baal Tov Keah. The Baal Tov Keah did not have a mind to be motzi, or niskavin mashmia, v'lo niskavin shomea, or the Baal Tov Keah had in mind to be motzi, but the shomea, the listener, did not have in mind to be yotze. In all of these cases, lo yotza, ad she is kavin shomea umashmia. So the mice again, the Gemara says, you're only yotze when the Baal Tov Keah as well as the listener both have in mind to be yotze. So the Gemara says, katani mashmia domia do shomea. Now, what do we see from here? The way that the Brice equates is the Brice equates the Baal Tov Keah with the listener. How so? Ma shomea shomea la atzmo. They will say, just as the shomea. Now, who does the shomea have in mind to be motzi? Who does the listener have in mind to be motzi? Himself, right? Meaning his mindset does not go anywhere past himself. Af mashmia mashmia la atzmo. So what's interesting over here is the Gemara is suggesting that the fact that we're linking the experiences of the Baal Tov Keah and the Shomea and the listener indicates that just as the Shomea has intent for himself, so too the case the Baal Tov Keah also only has intent for himself. And yet what? Vikatoni lo yatza. And yet what does it say? It says that you're not Yotze. To which the Gemara says Tanoihi. In reality, this is a machlokes Tanoim. What's the machlokes Tanoim? This Sanya. Shomea, Shomea la'atzmo. Umashmia mashmia lefi darko. So we'll say here you have the Gemara says the following. The Braisa says, when a person listens in order to discharge their obligation, they're only listening for themselves, which of course makes sense. Right? A listener cannot discharge the obligation of someone else. So the Shomea listens for himself. Umashmia mashmia lefi darko. And we'll say, what happens? The Baal Tov Keah. The Baal Tov Keah mashmia lefi darko means he is blowing the shofar also. Why? The assumption is Baal Tov Keah is also being motzi himself. With this tikkias, see, he's blowing the shofar in the normative fashion, perhaps even without any explicit intent for who he's being motzi. So what's according to that first opinion, what you're saying over here is pretty much just as the shomea has intent for himself, the mashmia has intent for himself as well. Rabbi Yosef says, no. The medrash mamur b'shliach tzibur. Rabbi Yosef says, when does general intent work? But shliach tzibur, because Rabbi Yosef, the assumption is that when a person is blowing the shofar in the capacity as a communal agent, by definition, his mindset is for who? Is everyone. And by the way, everyone even spans beyond, this is the people in the shul. Everyone means who? Anyone and everyone is going to hear my kolos. And that is true. That is true even if what? Even if the mashmiya, even if the Baal Tov Keah doesn't even have that explicit intent. That's by definition the built-in intent of the in his capacity as shliach tzibur. However, aval biyochid, but for an individual, lo yotza achi is kavin shomea umashmiya. But Rabbi say for a yochid, where a person is blowing the shofar privately, individually, in that case, again, in order for him to be motzi, the people who are listening, he has to what? He has to have them in mind. And that is halacha l'maisa. When a person operates in the capacity of a shliach tzibur, by definition, if you are the agent of the community, even if you don't have explicit intent for everyone here, by definition, that is the built-in intent of shliach tzibur. Even people beyond the shul who only hear, who you might not even know, are listening, who might hear. But if you are blowing as an individual, so because, again, you are working in an individual capacity, you can only be motzi the people whom you explicitly have kavanah for. Says the Mishnah. We'll say that the Gemara infuses a little bit of agarta over here, which is quite beautiful. So the Gemara says, v'haya. Sorry. V'haya kaya kasha yare Moshe yado. The Gavar Yisrael. Remember, again, by the war with Amalek. So the Torah says, when Moshe Rabbeinu would lift up his hands, so the Gavar Yisrael, the Jewish people, would win against Amalek. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, v'chi yadav shal Moshe osos milchamo, oshov os milchama. Tell me, is it the hands of Moshe that make or break the war effort? Meaning, what is this? Moshe, when his hands are up, they win. Moshe, when his hands are low, they lose. The hands of Moshe would make or break the war effort. El Elomar the Chara, there it teaches us, Kolzman Shehayu Yisrael Mistaklin Klapei Malo, Umishabdin Es Libam La'avim Shemashemayim. Hayu Miskarim. Rather, I will say, what does he mean? Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were there to go ahead and direct the heart of the Jewish people upward. Or in other words, again, Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were there to channel the people's intentions up towards Shamayim. So when the hands were up and the people were looking heavenward for their salvation, that's ultimately when salvation came. V'imlav, but if Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were down, which symbolized what? The idea that the people were not directing their intentions heavenward, then v'imlav, hayunoflim, then they would fall in war. Kiyotze badavar, similarly we learn, atomer, asei l'chasraf, v'sim oso al nes. Remember again, this is talking about there was an outbreak of poisonous snakes in the desert, and the Jewish people complained. One of them, Jewish people complained. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Make for yourself a copper servant and put it on the staff. And the Torah says when the people would look up to the serpent, they'd be healed. So the Gemara says, V'haya kol ha-noshuch, anyone who was bitten by the poisonous serpent, v'ra oso v'chai, would look at this copper serpent and would what? And would live. So the Gemara says, V'chi nachosh memis o nachosh mechaye. But is it the snake that takes life or the snake that gives life? Meaning, what's the pshat that you look at it and you're healed? Elo, rather, bizman sheis from mistaklin klavimala. Rather, we'll say what? The copper snake was perched on a high staff. And the idea is to look at it, you had to look up. Once you were looking up, you cast your eyes heavenward. Once you cast your eyes heavenward, you looked forth to the heavens for salvation. When that happens, a person was healed. When the Jewish people would look heavenward, so and literally they gave their hearts over to their Father in heaven, then they were healed. But if not, meaning if they would not look upward, ultimately again they would succumb to the illness. Fine. So we'll say that's all just a beautiful inclusion of Agarata over here. Now the Gemara gets to the halacha. Cheresh shota the katan, ein motzin es harabim dechavasam. We'll say that the cheresh. Now remember, cheresh under most circumstances means what? Means a deaf mute. So if you have a person who's deaf and mute, shota, Rabosa, means a person who's crazy, deranged. Remember, the Gemara actually has a definition of a shota. The Gemara says someone who's lomba beis hakvara, someone who sleeps in the cemetery, korea es begadav, he tears his clothing unnecessarily. So a person who just engages in crazy behavior, shota, katan is a minor. All of these individuals, emot sina sarabim is yidei chavasan. They cannot blow the shofar for someone else and help someone else discharge their obligation. Why? Zihaklal, this is the principle. Kol she'eino mechuyav v'davar, anyone who himself is not obligated in something, eino motzi es rabim midei chavasan, cannot discharge the obligation for the collective. So cheresh shota v'katan, they are not obligated in the mitzvah of shofar, therefore they may not blow the shofar off for someone else and discharge someone else's obligation. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanon, hakol chayavin b'tkia shofar, kohanim ulevim v'yisraelim, gerim v'avadim mishuchrarim, Tumtum va'adrogenus, umisha chatsia aved chatsia ben chorin. So also listen to this. So everyone is obligated in tikiyah shofar. Kohanim levim yisraelim, okay. Gerim, converts. Avadim yishukhram, emancipated servants. Tumtum and androgynous. So most of these are interesting cases. Tumtum, remember, androgynous, we'll start with androgynous. So androgynous is a person who who has both male and female characteristics, right? Male and female reproductive organs. So there's a big shani in halacha. What's the status of that person? Tumtum is a person who has a very thick membrane that covers the sexual organs, and therefore what? It's not clear what they are. It's not clear what they are. So androgynous has both qualities. Tumtum is just, we'll call it gender ambiguity. We just don't know what this person actually is. So what is the halacha? The halacha is tumtum. So tumtum eino motzi lo esmino v'lo she'enemino. Now we'll say a tumtum can't be motzi another tumtum, or can't be motzi another person. Why? Because the truth is, we also remember, not all tumtums are considered to be the same. You could have one tumtum that's a man and one tumtum that's a woman. Therefore, again, one tumtum can't be motzi on what we'll call a regular person, obviously, because we don't know the status of the tumtum. Unless you think that all tumtums are also the same status, that's not true either. One could be male, one could be female, therefore one can't be motzi the other either. Androgynous. What about an androgynous? Motzi esmina. Now, also, here's what's interesting. An androgynous could blow the shofar for another androgynous. Why? Because although we have doubt as to what the status of the androgynous is, but whatever status it is, then what? They're all the same. They're all the same. Therefore, lemaisa, one androgynous could blow for another androgynous, avalosh she'enamino, but cannot blow the shofar for a non-androgynous. Misha chatziav eben v'chatziav ben chorin. If someone about say is a half slave, half free man, I will say, where does that case come up? This comes up is when you have partners who own a servant. Partners own an eved kenani together, and one partner emancipates his chelek of the slave. So the ma'aseh, again, he's chatziv eved, he's half a slave, and chatziv ben chorin. So what's the halacha? Eino motzi lo esmino v'lo she'enamino. He cannot be motzi another chatziv and chatziv ben chorin, and he certainly can't be motzi someone else. So the Gemara, and I will say, the reason for that is, the reason, if you look at Rashi, mi shechatziv eved, delo osi tzad avdos dimashmiya, umapik tzad chirus tishomea. Because most of the problem is that if a chatziv and chatziv ben chorin blows the shofar, part of that call, so to speak, is emanating from what? Is emanating from an eved. Is emanating from someone who is not obligated in this mitzvah at all. They've already established the only way to be motzi someone else's how is if you yourself are obligated in the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Amar Mar. So we Mar said, Akol chayavim b'tkiya shofar, kohanim levim yisraelim pshita. So now the Gemara goes back to the beginning. Now the Braisa began in a very interesting way. Everyone is obligated in tkiya shofar, namely who? Kohanim levim yisraelim. So the Gemara says, that's kind of obvious, Peshitta. I hani lo mechaivi, man mechaivi. So also the Gemara says, because if Kohanim Levim and Yisraelim are not going to be chayiv, who exactly is left? Who is left that would be chayiv? Now the Gemara says, you're right. The truth is, the reason the Braisa needed to write it was not for Levim and Yisraelim, rather for who? For Kohanim. This is very interesting. I might have thought, Kohanim, it's Shrichalein. I need this Braisa to explicitly tell me that Kohanim were obligated in Tekiah Shofar. Why? Because I would have thought, since the Pasuk says, Yom Teruah Yeh Lachem, the Pasuk says, it will be of a day of Teruah for you. I might have thought, who's obligated in Shofar? Only people who only have Shofar one day a year, who have Tekios one day a year. But these Kohanim who hear Tekios throughout the entire year, because the Pasuk says you shall sound the trumpets, you shall sound the chatzotros when you bring your kavanos. I might have thought what? I might have thought that Kohanim, because they hear the tekios every single day, therefore they're not chayv on Rosh Hashanah. Kamash malon, no. Kamash on their chayv on Rosh Hashanah as well. Which Gemara says, what are you talking about? Me, dummy, how can you compare what happens every single day to what happens on Rosh Hashanah? Hasim chatzotros v'hacha shofar. People say, yes, they blow every single day for a karbonic service. But what are they blowing? They're blowing trumpets. The mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah is a mitzvah on shofar. Rather, it's necessary, because I would have thought, I might have thought like this. What did we learn earlier? That Yovel is just like Rosh Hashanah in terms of tekiyah, blowing the shofar, and brachos and davening. I might have thought that because there is a Rosh Hashanah Yovel connection, I might have thought, man, the Isei b'mitzvahs here Yovel, Isei b'mitzvah, the Rosh Hashanah. I would have said the following. Anyone who is obligated in Yovel is obligated in the tekiyos of Rosh Hashanah. V'hani kohanim hoyo v'lesnum b'mitzvahs the Yovel. V'yak kohanim don't really have such a chelik in Yovel. Why not, Rabosai? This nan, kohanim ulevim, mochrin la'olam, v'golim li'olam. Because Rabosai, again, Kohanim and Levim have the ability to sell forever and have the ability to redeem forever. Meaning, what does it mean to both say? That under normal circumstances, Lemaisa, again, remember the amount of time which you could redeem a sole property and the amount of time and the duration for which you could sell something are limited. The truth is, Kohanim operate in a little bit of a different type of capacity, that if a Kohen sells off land, he could always redeem it. And remember, certain things that are sold to Kohanim or that become the possession of Kohanim don't revert back to their owners during the Yovel year. In other words, the laws of Yovel don't apply to Kohanim as they apply to regular people. Therefore, I would have thought the same way that Yovel doesn't apply in the same way to Kohanim. Therefore, Ima b'mitzvah de Rosh Hashanah lo lechaivo. Therefore, I might have thought that again, if Yovel doesn't apply to them in the same way, and we've made this connection between Yovel and Rosh Hashanah, that just as Yovel doesn't apply to him, also what? The Tekios of Rosh Hashanah don't apply to them. Kamash, and therefore the Braisa has to say that even Kohanim are obligated in the Tekios of Rosh Hashanah. Mi shechatziav eved v'chatziav ben churin eino motzi. Lo es mino v'lo es she'eno mino. So remember again, the Braisa said someone who's a chatzi eved chatzi ben churin cannot go ahead and discharge the obligation of another half eved, half free man, nor anyone else. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yehuda ula atzma motzi." So Rabbi Yehuda says, "No, he actually has the ability to go ahead and be motzi himself." Amar li Rav Nachman Rav Huna. So Rav Nachman said to Rav Huna, "Ma'ishna la'achirim tulo." Why is it that you said that a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin can't discharge someone else's obligation? Dilo asi tzad avdus umapik tzad chirus. Because Rav say again, the half that is slave cannot what? Cannot go ahead and discharge the obligation of the half that is of the part that's free. Meaning, so a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin can't discharge someone else's obligation. Why? Because lemaisa when the chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin blows the shofar, part of that coal is coming from a slave. And from a non-obligated source. So because of that, it's not a pure role, therefore it can't discharge the obligation of another. To which Rav Nachman posits, V'yatzmo nami lo asitzad abdus didei, umapiktzad cherus didei. So we'll say, remember, so Rav Huna wanted to say, chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin can't blow for someone else, but what? He can blow for himself. Rav Nachman says, no, the same reason he can't blow for someone else, because lemaisa, part of that call emanates from an eved who's not obligated, that also will compromise his ability to blow for himself. Why are both saying? Because the half of him that is free and that is obligated in shofar cannot be yotzei with a kol that what? That emanates, at least in part, from his slave part. Rather, Rav Nachman says, af liatzmo eino motzi. Rather, Rav Nachman said, no, in reality, it's not only that he can't discharge someone else's obligation, but what? He can't discharge his own. So that supports this.
Even by listening,
kind of. Correct. Nothing. By blowing and by listening. Correct. So the Gemara says, Taina mihachi, we have a braisa that's, well, again, if he's listening from someone else that emanates in a kasha way, he could be yotze. The problem is when he's creating the call. Because if he creates the call, part of that call is created by an eved. That's the problem. Taina mihachi, a braisa that supports this. Mi shechetziav eved vechetziav ben chorin. Somebody who is half eved, half ben chorin. Afli atzmo eino motzi. So we indeed passing like Rav Nachman, that Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin can't even go ahead and what? Can't even be Motzi himself. Tani Ava Breid Rabbi Zera. So Ava, the son of Rabbi Zera, said the following. Kol HaBrachos Kulam, O Brachos, Afa Pisha Yotze Motzi. I will say very interesting halacha. O Brachos, even though you have gone ahead and already been Yotze, you can still be Motzi someone else. Look at Rashi. Afa Pisha Yotze Motzi. Why shari call you so arevim zeba zel mitzvah? So we'll say it's din of arvos. So in general, even if you have discharged your obligation for a mitzvah, you still have the ability to what? To be motzi someone else. Chutz, with a couple of exceptions. Chutz mi birkas halechem u birkas hayayin sheim lo yotza motzi vim yotza ina motzi, with the exception of both of hamotzi or hagafen, that if you have not yet discharged your obligation, then you could be motzi someone else. But if you have already discharged your obligation, then you may not be motzi someone else. Look at Rashi. Chutz mi birkas halechem v'hayayin. So Rashi says, Ushar birkas peros v'rechani she'inan chova ela sha'asra lehanos mina olam hazeh b'lo bracha u'bizu ein kan arvos she'inan chova ala adam lo listnihi v'lo levar. So we'll say, what are we referring to over here? Birkos hanenin. So birchos hanenin means that brachos that you make for your own benefits, for your own pleasure, because you want to go ahead and partake of something. It's interestingly enough, you can only, if you already made, if you don't need to make a bracha, I don't want to eat bread, I don't want to eat, drink wine, then I can't make a bracha for someone else. Because the din of Birchos Hananin is, you're not permitted to partake of this world without a bracha. So Lemaisa, again, there's no obligation to partake. It's just if you want to partake, you have to go ahead and what? You have to go ahead and make a bracha. Therefore, the Gemara says like this: If I'm not making a hamotzi or a hagafen, and someone else needs it, I can't make a bracha on their behalf. If, however, I am already making the bracha of hamotzi and hagafen, I can make the bracha and discharge the obligation. So this is the distinction between birchos hamitzvah and birchos hanen. When it comes to birchos hamitzvah, even if I have already discharged my obligation, I can still what? And can still make the bracha on your behalf. Why? Because there's a din of arvos, collective responsibility. I am not fully yotzi my mitzvah until you are yotzi your mitzvah. Therefore, the ma'isa, I can make the bracha on your behalf. On the other hand, birchos hanenin, which are brachos over physical enjoyment, there's no obligation to physically enjoy. But if you're going to physically enjoy, you have to make a bracha. Therefore, you have to make your own bracha. I have to make my own bracha. The only exception is if I happen to be making a bracha for myself, then I can discharge your obligation along with my bracha. And I will say, even in that case, it's not going to apply to all birchos hanen. And if you notice again, the Gemara quotes two very specific examples of hamotzi and hagafen, which bread and wine, which are acts of consumption that have a kvius, that have an established seder to them. People normally do those things together. So the Gemara goes back to Boy Rava, on the base, Boy Rava, birchas halechem shal matzah, ubirchas hayayin shal kiddush hayom mahu. So the Gemara now asks, well, what about the hamotzi of matzah? Or the hagafen of kiddush. Also, the Gemara is asking over here. Let's say I already made the hamotzi of matzah, or I already made kiddush. Do I have the ability to go back and make that bracha again for someone else? On one hand, kevan dechobahu mapik. On one hand, we could say that's what? That's a mitzvah, right? It's part of a mitzvah. Therefore, I should be able to emotzi someone else, even if I was already yotze. Oh, dilma bracha lav chobahi. Or maybe not. Maybe Rabbi said at the end of the day, the actual hamotzi lechem in arts, the actual hagafen, that's not the birchas hamitzvah. Again, it's the kiddush that's the birchas hamitzvah, it's the consumption that's the birchas hamitzvah, that's the mitzvah. But the bracha, again, just simply is a matir, something that allows me to engage in consumption, in which case I shouldn't be able to emotzi you. To which the Gemara says, Tashma adam Ravashi, ki avina be Rav Papa. Ravashi is when we were in the house of Rav Papa, havim mekadishlam. Rav Papa would make kiddush on our behalf. So remember, this is when we were all sitting down for the suda together. We're all eating lunch meal together. Rav Papa would make kiddush on our collective behalf. And yet, b'chihavi asi arise midabra. Yet when his sharecroppers, his workers, would come in from the field, have a kiddush luhu, he would once again make kiddush for them. So what do you see from there? You see from there that even though Rav Ashi was already yotze kiddush, he what? He made it again. Therefore, Rabbi said, what do you see from here? You see from here that Lamaisa, the Hagafen of Kiddush, is not treated as a Birchas Hananin, is not treated simply as a bracha or physical enjoyment, but it's treated how? As a Birchas HaMitzvah. Because it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, therefore, even if I discharge my obligation, I am permitted to go ahead and make Kiddush again for someone else. And that is indeed Halacha Lamaisa, as we know. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanon, Lo Yifros Adam Prusa La'Orchin. A person should not go ahead and literally break off a piece of bread for the arch. And I will say what this actually means is a person should not make the bracha of hamotzi for his guests, ela imkin ochalim mohed. Unless, of course, what? He's actually partaking of the meal also. Meaning, you can't be motzi someone else in a birchas hamotzi unless either A, it's a birchas hamitzvah like Shabbos and Yom Tov, or B, you're all sitting down to the meal together. But to make that bracha on their behalf, if you're not joining the meal, that you can't do. Aval poris hulabanav ulubnei beso. What you can do is you can make a bracha with your children or with the members of your house in order to teach them how to make brachos. So if I have young children, I want to teach them how to make brachos, I can make the bracha on their behalf, so to speak, for the purpose of chinuch. When it comes to halal and megillah, even though I have already discharged my obligation, I could recite that bracha on behalf of someone else to help them discharge their obligation. So we'll say what comes out from this is a simple yisoh, which we know halacha l'maaseh, which is that for birchos hamitzvah, you can always help someone discharge their obligation, even if what? Even if you have already discharged your personal obligation, that is part of the halacha of kol yisrael arevim zeh bazeh, din of arvos. That my mitzvah obligation is not complete until you fulfilled your mitzvah obligation, Therefore, I can make the bracha on your behalf. Birchos hanenin, brachos that are made over physical pleasure, physical enjoyment, that you cannot make for someone else. Everyone must make their own. But even birchos hanenin, like hamotzi and hagafen, in the context of kiddush or sudas yom tov or Shabbos, take on the identity of what? As a birchos hanitzvah, and therefore I can make it on someone else's behalf. Hadron Allah ru'o beizdim. Yom Tov Shal Rosh Hashanah. We'll say now we come to a very interesting sugya. Yom Tov Shal Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos. If Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, B'Mikdash Hayu Tokim. So we'll say they would blow the shofar in the Beis HaMikdash. Avalo B'Medina, but not in the Medina. Now we'll say, what does the Medina mean? Look at Rashi. Avalo B'Medina, Lo B'Yerushalayim, Lo B'Gvulim. So we'll say it's interesting because Medina means different things in different contexts. Here, Medina means outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So if Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos, they would only blow the shofar in the Beis HaMikdash itself. They would not blow the shofar anywhere outside of the Beis HaMikdash, meaning including Yerushalayim and certainly beyond. Mishechara of Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so what happened? Hiskin, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shutokin v'chomakom sheyesh bo beizim. So also when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted that they should blow the shofar wherever there is a Beis Din. So wherever there is a sitting Beis Din, so they would go out and blow the shofar. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar said, no, lo hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ela biyavne bilvan. So Rabbi Elazar says, not true. The only place Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai allowed for the blowing of the shofar was in Yavne. Rabbi Elazar said, remember, Yavne was where the Sanhedrin relocated to in the aftermath. I mean, the truth is they were already there before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, but it becomes the real center for Jewish life after the fall of Yerushalayim. So again, so on one hand you have, so Tanakama says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai allowed for the blowing of the shofar anywhere there's a Beis Din. Rabbi Elazar says, not true. The blowing of the shofar was only sanctioned where? In Yavne. Amru lo, they said to Rabbi Elazar, not true. Echad Yavne, ve'echad komakom sheyesh bo Beis Din. Not true. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai allowed the blowing of the shofar in Yavne, and anywhere else where there was a Beis Din. Va'od zos, ha'isa Yerushalayim yisera al Yavne. Furthermore, again, there was another way in which Yerushalayim was even, so to speak, had an extra maila, an extra benefit over Yavne. Shekol ir shehi roe v'shamas ukrova v'yechol alava. Because there was any city that was able to see Yerushalayim, that was able to hear the tekils from Yerushalayim, and was close enough that you could come to Yerushalayim, Token, they would blow the shofar. So this is interesting. We see a similar concept by Megillah as well, that certain cities that were in proximity to Yerushalayim had this Yerushalayim-like status in terms of Kriyas HaMegillah. So the Gemara is saying, this Mishnah saying same thing over here, that any city that could literally see Yerushalayim, hear the tekils from Yerushalayim, is close enough to come to Yerushalayim, had the status of Yerushalayim, and would blow the shofar on Shabbos. Ubiyavne, but in Yavne, Rabbi will say, the only place where you could blow the shofar was where? In Yavne itself. Not in the surrounding cities, no matter how close they may have been to Yavne. Says the Gemara. Oh, so we're going to see. We're going to see what that means. So that dafka is a reference to actual distance. Actual distance. We'll see. So the Gemara says, Menahani Miri. So where do we know this from? Where do we know this from? Amar Rabbi Levi Bar Lachma, Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina. So we'll see the Gemara says, because Rabbi Levi Bar Lachma, saying of Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, Kskasuv Echad Omer, one pasuk says, Shabboson Zichron Shrua. So we'll say, remember, we're trying to focus on over here the notion of blowing the shofar on Shabbos. So remember, here's what we have. What we have is you can do it in the Beis HaMikdash, you can't do it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So why not? So the Gemara says, because one pasuk says, Shabboson Zichron Shrua. One pasuk says Shabboson will be a Shabbos Zichron Shrua. And I will say Zichron Shrua means what? A remembrance for the Shrua. Now, what does it mean, a remembrance for the Shrua? That'll be a remembrance, like Yidrashi, Zichron Shrua, velo Shrua Mamish. Meaning it'll be a day in which you remember the Shrua, but you will not blow the Shrua itself. Elo Mikro Shal Shrua Yomu. Rather, you'll say the psukim of the Shruos, but what? You won't actually blow the Shrua itself. The Kasuv Echadom, or another pasuk says, Yom Tru Yelachem. It'll be a day of Trua. So we'll say the psukim are contradictory. Why? Because one pasuk seems to indicate that you're actually blowing the Trua. The other pasuk indicates that what? That you're going to remember the Trua. But what? That you're not actively blowing the Trua. So Gemara says, Lo Kasha, it's not a contradiction. Can't be on to Shechalios B'Shabbos. We'll say everything depends on when Rosh Hashanah falls out. If Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, then what is it? Then it's a Zichron Shrua. That I'm not actually blowing the shofar on Shabbos itself. Rather, what am I doing? I'm remembering the Shrua. It's a Zichron Ba'alma. But yet when it says Yom Shrua, what is that referring to? That's referring to Rosh Hashanah that falls out on a weekday. Then I'm actually blowing the shofar. Amar Rava. So Rava said, 1 second. Imedorai Sehi. The Mikdash Hechi Takinon. So Rava says like this. Look, let's analyze this. If blowing the shofar on Shabbos was biblically is indeed biblically problematic. So what you're saying over here is Midoraisa, there's the concept that the, if it's on Shabbos, you can't blow the shofar. If it's during the week, you can't blow the shofar. So Rava says, that's true. Then Midoraisa, you can't blow the shofar on Shabbos. Then what? The Mikdash Hechi Takinon. They both say you can't violate biblical prohibitions in the base of Mikdash. So if it's really us Midoraisa bless you, then how can you blow it on Shabbos? Va'od ha'lav melochihi. Furthermore, again, the Gemara says, in fact, blowing of the shofar is not really a meloch. Actually, it's really a question. The Gemara says, va'od ha'lav melochihi. Di'itzrich kralim ute. The blowing the shofar is not a melocha that should require a pasuk. The Gemara says, why not? The Tana debei Shmuel, because they taught in the Shiva of Shmuel, kol melechas avod alal sasum. The Torah says, you may not engage in any melocha on Shabbos. This comes to exclude Yotzetzat Tikiyah Shofar. This comes to exclude the blowing of the Shofar. Uridiyas HaPas. And the removal of bread from the oven. Shichachma Ve'ena Malacha. So you will say these acts over here are very interesting. So are considered to be a chachma. They are skills. They're skills as opposed to Malacha. We'll say the definition of Malacha is constructive activity, constructive labor. So Tikiyah Shofar is not called the Malacha. Tikiyah Shofar is called a skill. Removal of the bread. Also, what they're referring to over here is how do they used to bake bread? So they used to take they take dough and you stick it against the wall of the oven, right? So what happens? So I guess in order to remove that without the bread breaking into two was a chachma. That was a skill set. So these are not called malachas. These are called skills. And Amar of Swosai, what the Gemara is saying over here is lemaisa like this. Therefore, what we see over here is blowing of a shofar is not a malacha doraisa. If blowing the shofar is malacha d'oraisa, if it's not malacha d'oraisa, so what is the pasuk coming to teach me? So Gemara says, Ela Amar Rava mid'oraisa mishra shari. Now they're both say what? Mid'oraisa, you are permitted to blow the shofar on Shabbos. Aye, so what's the issue over here? So Gemara says, if mid'oraisa you're permitted to blow the shofar on Shabbos, so why am I not blowing the shofar on Shabbos outside of the Beis Hamikdash? V'rabbanan hu digazer be'kid rabba. And the rabbis legislated that you may not blow shofar on Shabbos in accordance with the statement of Rabba. The Amar Rabba, because Rabba says, Hakol chayavin b'tikiyah shofar. Everyone is obligated in tikiyah shofar. Ve'ein hakol b'kin b'tikiyah shofar. But yeah, what? Not everyone is proficient in blowing the shofar. What's the concern? Gezerah shema yitlena biyado v'yelech eitzel baki lilmod v'yabirenu dalet amos b'rishus harab. Because they both say, what is Rabba concerned about? Everyone is obligated in shofar, but not everyone knows what? How to blow the shofar. So what's the concern? The concern is that one may come to take their shofar on Shabbos to someone who knows how to blow it, and they will end up transporting it, Dalet Amos and Rosh Sarabim, which is a Malacha D'oraisa. So we'll say, so therefore again, what Rab is pointing out over here is, there's nothing inherently wrong with blowing the shofar, as we've already established. The issue over here is because it's a skill that not everyone is proficient with or in, one may come to carry that shofar over the course of Yom Tov or over the course of Shabbos, not Yom Tov, Shabbos, and may end up violating the actual halacha. So therefore, also the Gemara says, V'hainu taima de lulav, V'hainu taima de megillah. And this is the same reason we don't take lulav on Shabbos, and the same reason we don't read the megillah on Shabbos. Also, this becomes known as Gezera d'Rabba. So Gezera d'Rabba means essentially any mitzvah fulfillment that requires an object. Rabba says we don't do it on Shabbos, lest you come to carry the object Dalet Amos. So again, I will say now. So to bring this all together, therefore now the Mishnah makes more sense, because what the Mishnah is saying is, but we do blow the shofar where? We do blow the shofar where? In the Beis Hamikdash. Why? Because remember, rabbinic prohibitions do not apply in the Beis Hamikdash. Biblical prohibitions apply in the Beis Hamikdash, unless, of course, there's a specific license to engage in them. Like, for example, again, the Torah says you're supposed to shecht karbanos on Shabbos. Shechit is one of the Lavites box. The Torah tells us to do it, therefore we do it. But again, rabbinic injunctions do not apply in the Beis Hamikdash. Therefore, inside the Beis Hamikdash, they would blow the shofar. Outside the Beis Hamikdash, they would not. Mishacharav Beis Hamikdash, he's going to be Yochanan ben Zakkai. So remember again, when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted that they should blow the shofar wherever there is a Beis Din. Tanu Rabbanan, this is an interesting case. Pam achos chal Rosh Hashanah lios b'Shabbos. One time, Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. V'hayu kol ha'arim miskansim. And what happened? Everyone gathered. Now, we'll say, where is everybody gathering? Everyone is looking around. She says, v'hayu kol ha'arim shesvivos yavne miskansim. L'sham l'shmoa tekiyah m'shluchei beis. And l'fisha y'regilin came b'yushayim. So Abbas said, what happened? So remember, now, this must have been one of the early years after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Jewish life is now, center of Jewish life is relocated to Yavne. Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. And all the people in the neighboring cities gathered to Yavne to hear the shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah Shabbos. Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. So what happened? Amr lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai l'bnei b'seira. Niska, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to Bnei B'seira, and I will say, Bnei B'seira, Rashi says, Gedoli Hador Hayu. They were the ranking some of the ranking sages of the generation. They were a very prominent family throughout many generations. So Bnei B'seira there, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who is kind of the head of the Jewish people, says, let's blow the shofar. Amrulo Nidom. So Bnei B'seira said, one second, let's discuss about this. Let's Nidom means, let's analyze the situation. Look at Rashi, Nidom. What Bnei B'seira were concerned about was, we understand that the Gzeira of Rabbah that we just mentioned before does not apply in the Beis HaMikdash. The question is, does it apply in Yavne or not? So let's discuss. So Amar Lahem, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, listen, Niska va'achar kach nidon. I have a better idea. Let's blow the shofar first, and we'll discuss it afterwards. Meaning that the people are already here. So we can have an intense halachic debate afterwards, but right now the people have already assembled. Let's blow the shofar for them now, and we could discuss it afterwards. So apparently, again, Bnei B'seira deferred to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. La'achar shetako, so they blew the shofar in Yavne, on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. After they blew the shofar, Amrulo Nidon, he said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Senu, let's discuss. Amrulah, ooh, he said, I'm sorry. Kevar nishma a karen b'yavne. Truth is, a little too late to discuss it now. Why? Because you already blew the shofar in Yavne. Ve'ein meshivin la'achar maisa. And on both sides, there's no discussion after the act has already been done. Meaning, so what he said to them is, there's nothing to discuss now because you've already blown the shofar in Yavne. This apparently was the first Shabbos Rosh Hashanah in Yavne. Once you've already blown the shofar in Yavne, then what? Then you've already established precedent. Once precedent is established, there's no more room for discussion. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai pulled a little bit of a fast one over Bnei B'seira. He was sure that the halacha followed him, and he felt that actually there was not really a need to engage in any further debate about it. So again, in order essentially to get the job done, he said, okay, we'll talk later on. They did it. Once they did it already, no need to discuss anymore. All right, interesting. So most of the following. Amar Rabbi Elazar, lo hitzkan Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ela b'yavne. Bilvad. So remember again, Rabbi Elazar said, no, it's not true. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did not allow the blowing of the shofar anywhere where there was a Beis Din. Rather, he only allowed it where? In Yavne itself. So we'll say again, just to follow the flow of the Mishnah. So you have over here, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, according to the Tanakhama, the first opinion of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted the blowing of the shofar in Rosh Hashanah anywhere where there was a Beis Din. Then what happens? Rabbi Elazar comes along and says, no, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai only allowed for the blowing of the shofar where? In Yavne. Then there's a statement, Amrulo, they said to him, both Yavne as well as anywhere else where there is a Beis Din. So the Gemara says, Amrulo, Hainu Tanakama. The Rabbi said that opinion of Amrulo, they said to him, they said to Rabbi Elazar, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai allowed for the blowing of the shofar anywhere there is a Beis Din. That's the same opinion as the Tanakama. That's the same opinion as the first opinion quoted in the Mishnah. The same thing is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai allowed for the blowing of the shofar anywhere where there was a Beis Din. You know, the Gemara says, Ika Benayu, here's the distinction between the Nafkamina is Beidina Akroi. Rabbi will say, what happens if you don't have, you have a city that doesn't have a set Beis Din, but rather they have a Beis Din that meets infrequently. What is the status of that city? Look at Rashi. Beidina Da Akroi, the Tanakhama. Takinon. So we'll say, according to the Tanakama, the Tanakama says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, allowed for blowing of the shofar, anywhere where there is a Beis Din, even if what? Even if it's not a Beis Din that sits regularly. Even if it's a Beis Din that only meets infrequently, as long as there's a Beis Din present, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai allows for the blowing of the shofar in that particular city. On the other hand, Rashi says, V'tana da amrulo, savar echad yavne, ve'echad komokum shiyesh bo Beis Din kavua, dum yediyavne. So we'll say the third opinion in the Mishnah, the amrulo say that no, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai only allowed the blowing of the shofar when Rabbi Osai, in a city that had an established Beis Din, like the Beis Din of Yavne. Not necessarily as great as the Beis Din of Yavne, but an established Beis Din that sat on a regular base like the Beis Din. So we'll say what comes out is we have three different opinions in the Mishnah. Tanakama holds that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai allowed for the blowing of the shofar in any city that has a Beis Din, even if it's not an established Beis Din that sits regularly, as long as there's the presence of a Beis Din, that's enough. Rabbi Elazar says, on the other hand, no, it's only what? It's only in Yavne. It's only in Yavne where the Beis Din sat, the Sanhedrin HaGadol sat. That's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai allowed for the blowing of the shofar. And the third opinion, Amrulo, the third opinion of the Mishnah says what? No, a compromised position. It's not only in Yavne, but in order to blow the shofar in another city, what do you need? You need an established Beis Din. It can't be a Beis Din Akroy. It can't be a fly-by-night, not fly-by-night, but it can't be a Beis Din that doesn't meet regularly. It must be an established Beis Din like the Beis Din of Yavne. All right, we'll stop over here.